misinformation. Misinformation.
Taking scissors to play with the black folk down in Florida. Colored pens and for sexing up the. I'm the someone who knew. They're not telling pre-September. I lean on in the loop to help them unremember.
I was flying on UA-93. That shadow in the footage, it was probably me. I'm the rumor, I'm the doubt, I'm the lie. But you wouldn't stand near me if you didn't want to die. Everything you know is wrong. There's a verse missing out of this song. Everything you know is wrong. Wrong, wrong. Missing out of this song.
Misinformation.
Everything you know is wrong. Wrong, wrong.
But
Waco,
when they
burnt it
to the ground. Without me,
Oklahoma
wasn't
possible
at all.
See my silhouette
in the Super 8
around
the grassy knoll.
Everything you know is wrong.
Misinformation.
There's a verse missing out of this song.
Misinformation.
Everything you know is wrong. Wrong, wrong. Sit out of this song. Everything you know is wrong.
Know it.
Everything you know is wrong.
Misinformation.
Everything you know is wrong.
Misinformation.
Wrong, wrong.
thanks for returning to Great Speeches and Interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. If you're just joining this program, we're listening to a debate. Is reducing carbon emissions worth the cost? You can hear this program at 96.5 FM, or you can go to accesssacramento.org, or you can download it from greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
There are many, many benefits, such as air pollution. What is the world's biggest source of arsenic and mercury in the environment? It is burning coal. What do you think of the wars that are being raged in the Middle East, where the thirst for fossil fuels and oil fundamentally underlies them? There are many benefits in moving away from that kind of world into a world which is actually characterized by cooperation on energy, because if we move large-scale to renewable energy, it requires cooperation among countries with different kinds of intermittent renewables balancing out supplies over long distance grids, and that will actually fundamentally change the whole way in which countries interact with each other. It will produce not just a greener world, a cleaner world, but actually a safer world and a happier world.
Question from the front left.
One very brief question and then another thing that I kind of want to, I'll see if I can lump them in. One thing that hasn't been addressed yet at all is peak oil. And that's going to obviously affect our economy and the demand and supply.
And for people who don't know what peak oil refers to.
Peak oil is when we've hit, we've used up half of the world's oil supply. And beyond that, the rate of production slows dramatically, kind of falls off on a bell curve.
Hunter.
The International Energy Agency says expect serious constraints on the supply of oil within 2 years. The Germans think a year. It really doesn't matter. The investments that you would want to make if you were scared to death about peak oil are exactly the same investments you'd want to make if you simply want to make money, i.e. energy efficiency and then renewable energy.
Bjorn Lomborg.
Again, we need to get a sense of proportion. A lot of people are trying to sell you, oh, we can move to renewables. We can do a lot of great things. Let's just remember that the International Energy Agency, as you just mentioned, estimate that right now we use about half of 1% of our energy comes from renewables like wind and solar and geothermal. If we don't do anything by 2030, it'll be up to 1.7%. But if we really strive, if we really do everything that all this people over here on this side wants us to do, we might be able to, the International Energy Agency estimate, to squeeze it up to 2.8%. I'm sorry, that's just not going to make a big difference in this world. And that's, of course,
neither
the
are those numbers
crucial
correct.
Point.
Bjorn,
well, the point is,
we can meet, the U.S. National Energy Lab showed by 2025 we could be meeting at least a quarter of U.S. energy through renewables if we simply made the intelligent
investments.
But
there was a report in 1950 that said we could do it now. I mean, how can you keep on making these sorts of comparisons?
If you include nuclear in renewables, the figures change.
Hey, I like nuclear.
Yeah,
I really do. Remotely sited 93 million miles away will do just fine.
The only way Britain will make its targets is very, very simple, as all the governments have known, and Tony Blair knew extremely well, is that if we do not have a new generation of nuclear power stations, there's absolutely no way we shall meet anything like a renewable target.
This concludes round two of the debate. Thank you for all of your questions, and thank you to our panel for quite seriously rising to the occasion. In a moment, we're going to do two things. Each panelist will have 2 minutes to make summary remarks. And right after that, we will be polling you to determine the winner of this debate. And I want to remind you once again of the results we received when we polled you coming in off of the street. The motion is that major reductions in carbon emissions are not worth the money. 16% of you were in support of that motion, 49% of you were against the motion, and 35% of you were undecided. And we'll begin summing up against the motion, Oliver Tickell, journalist and author of the Kyoto 2 Climate Initiative.
Someone asked the question, at what point have we made sufficient cuts in greenhouse gas emissions? And there is, in fact, quite a clear answer to that. What we've got to do, Philip Stott is quite right when he says, we can't stop climate change. What we've got to do is to stop the runaway greenhouse effect, in which positive feedback processes in the climate system lead to an inexorable extreme warming process, turning this planet into a very different place, a hothouse Earth, one in which the limiting factor on humans isn't so much whether we can survive the temperatures, it's whether the climate system can survive these temperatures. It's whether ice caps can survive these temperatures. Now, I think it's worth spending almost any amount of money to stop that from happening. The fantastic news is we don't have to. Actually, the costs are really quite modest in the context of the global economy, and they bring benefits which are greater than what we spend and which spread over a far wider area than simply economic benefits. They bring quality of life benefits, ecological benefits, benefits in food security, benefits in biodiversity. And so is it worth making these investments? The answer is yes, it is. And I'm very happy to know that this is actually on the verge of taking place here in the United States under the new President Obama.
Oliver Tickell, thank you very much.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Russian President Vladimir Putin. And I am here to make remarks in regards to untimely death of beloved Russian citizen Alexander Litvinenko. Now, what words to say? I am not sure. English is not my native language. But in regards to Alexander, I would have to say he had a certain glow. And why he is no longer with us? Well, that's a funny story. I took my problem to the KGB. Said there's this guy who won't agree with me. They took Litvinenko for some sushi and some wine and just a little portion of Polonium-209. Suspicious when he saw his dish. He said it isn't safe to eat raw fish. They said it's okay, hey, the sushi is just fine. We're sure E. coli can't survive Polonium-209. We thought that Litvinenko would have made a fast break. His sake smelled like something they dredged out of a lake. What's more, the guy who served him was named Igor the Snake. And though he didn't order it, he got a shake. If I should take you out for tea or fruit, it's best to bring a radiation suit. And though I've noticed frequently my dinner guests decline, but hey, it tastes like chicken. Polonium-209. Polonium-209. Polonium-209.
And now, back to the debate. Is reducing carbon emissions worth the cost?
Making his summary remarks for the motion, Bjørn Lomborg, founder of the Copenhagen Consensus.
Thank you. It's a little depressing to see that I started out telling you that we were going to hear two arguments, and indeed we have heard them. One is that this is going to be the end of the world, and therefore we need to do whatever Oliver says. We know from the UN climate panel that global warming will cause problems, but it will not by any means be the end of the world. It is one of the many problems we need to tackle, and that's exactly why we're having this debate, exactly asking, is this worth the money, or should we indeed do other things? And that's, of course, the other slightly sad thing, that it's a false choice. We can do everything. Well, we don't. And so my question to you is really very, very simply, how do you want to be remembered? Al Gore actually points this out very well. He says, this is our generational mission. He asks you, how do you want to be remembered by your kids? I find it stunning that he would actually make that argument, because the real question is, do you want to be remembered for having spent hundreds of billions or even trillions of dollars to do virtually no good 100 years from now? Or do you want to be remembered for actually having solved all the major problems that half of those world's population suffer, this medieval, terrible tragedies that we're watching right now? That's what tonight's decision is about. That's the trade-off. Thank you.
Summing up against the motion, Adam Werbach, global CEO of Saatchi and Saatchi S.
John Muir, the founder of the Sierra Club, who founded it in 1892, said that when you pick anything up by itself, you find it hitched to everything else in the universe. And that hitchedness is what I refuse to let go. Mr. Lomborg, others say it's a choice, that we can either create green jobs, that we can launch a new Apollo project, that we can't do that and deal with poverty, global poverty, at the same time. In fact, we have to. And when you ask the question, how do you want to be remembered, I don't want to be remembered as a person who, to my three kids, as the one who saw a crisis facing us and who ignored it. More reductions in carbon and carbon emissions are worth the money, and many of the anecdotes we shared tonight are examples of how they are worth the money. And the reason we used anecdotes is because we actually have examples of how it's actually happening. Major reductions in carbon are worth the money. We're not going to do unintelligent things. We're going to spend it right.
for the motion, Peter Huber, author of The Bottomless Well and a columnist for Forbes.
Well, and now I am done. I'm going to get personal and nasty, and I'm going to talk to you over there, and you, yeah, you know who you are, and also you. Like a medieval priest, you know, there are carbon brokers out there today who will sell you an indulgence that will forgive all your carbon sins. It will run you about $500 for 5 tons of carbon, which is about what the typical American needs, or about $2,000 per typical household. Your broker will spend the money on something good, most likely cleaning up hog farms in Brazil. But if you really want to make a difference, you must send a check large enough to forgive 4 Brazilian households too, because they can't afford that. So to cover all 5 households, the rich one and the 4 poor, make it $4,000. And you probably forgot to send a check last year, and who knows, some of you might even forget it for the next 8 years. Let's cover all the sins, you know, 1 backed this year's and 8 in advance. You'll feel so much better if you've already paid for these future sins. Let's make it 10 years, $40,000. Now, if you honestly believe that substantial reductions in carbon emissions are worth the money, you will sadly vote against the proposition. But then you must, you absolutely must, scurry right back home and send your check in, because if you don't, you will have burdened your already sooty soul with an extra 5 tons of self-righteous hypocrisy, and you can't possibly afford what it will take to forgive that. Your other option is to keep your money in the pocket and vote for the proposition. However desperately you may wish it were false, vote for, because it is in fact a true statement of engineering and economic and geopolitical fact. And vote for because acknowledging reality is the essential first step in trying to change anything for the better.
Thank you, Peter Huber. And with her 2 minutes to sum up against the motion, Hunter Lovins, president and founder of Natural Capitalism Solutions.
Boys, you've done a pretty good job of arguing what is essentially an untenable proposition. Why is it untenable? Because the numbers are in. Goldman Sachs, July 2 years ago, showed that the companies that are leading the way in cutting their emissions in implementing energy efficiency have 25% higher stock value than their competitors. The Economist Intelligence Unit last February, the companies that are leading in this have the highest, fastest growing stock value, and conversely, the worst performing companies in the economy are most likely to have nobody in charge of these issues. This is simply a better way of doing business. Now, you hold in your hands the future. You can choose to vote for the finest thinking of the 20th century, or you can vote for the future. You can vote to unleash this new energy prosperity. It matters what you vote now. We have argued, and I think we've proven, that cutting carbon is worth the money. We have not tried to argue that these investments will solve everything. We have also argued, I have, that these are the investments that will deliver genuine development to the rest of the world. So if you care about Bjorn's position, you will invest in these low-carbon technologies.
Thank you, Hunter Lovins. And finally, summing up for the motion, Philip Stott, Emeritus Professor and Biogeographer from the University of London.
Adam quoted a very great American. I'd like also to relate to a northeastern great American, in fact, the very founder of the American ecological movement, George Perkins Marsh of Vermont, who wrote Man and Nature in 1864, one of the greatest books ever written. And Professor David Lowenthal, also a great American author of today, wrote something about him which is extremely important for us to hear in the case of this debate. Environmental reformers who find nature's inarticulate indifference unbearable impute their own aims to nature, and then purport to speak on nature's behalf. A reified natural world is then worshipped as virtuous. And Marsh himself said, the equation of animal and vegetable life is too complicated a problem for human intelligence to solve. I think there was a mighty humility in Marsh's view of nature, which actually we've forgotten today, which is vital. Because what I am interested in is outcomes. Will it work? Remember, the motion is major cuts. I'm really serious about this. We agree on the influence that climate change will have impacts on people. Of course it will. But what is really in the end going to work? It's got to work. That's where Peter's realism is absolutely essential to all this. And back to Johnson to end. He said, why, sir, most schemes of political improvement are very laughable things, he said, which I think is an important way of always looking at it. But finally, the limits of all that we're doing here. Also, Johnson, how small of all that human hearts endure, that parts which laws or kings or senates or congresses, I've added those, can cause or cure. In the end, we want to solve this because we think it's us. I'm afraid it's nature greater than us, and we can't in the end manage it as we wish we would. Thank you,
Philip Stott. And it's clear, given, I would say, the unusual level of passion that we heard in this debate tonight, that these panelists very, very seriously are vying for your votes and want to win. And now comes the moment when you decide. Here are the final results from your poll on our motion that major reductions in carbon emissions are not worth the money. As before the debate, 16% of you were for the motion, 49% against, and 35% were undecided. After the debate, 42% of you are for the motion, 48% are against, and 10% are undecided. The side for the motion has moved more people, changed more minds. Congratulations to them.
I was always the one that could never stand idly by. They watched while the bullies beat up on the weaker ones. They had to do something to try. And I never gave up on people, though we could be better somehow. Morality's compass, you gave it to me, and I still follow it now. Well, I couldn't stop thinking about it. I couldn't get it out of my mind. The pictures, the stories, the plight of the people in occupied Palestine. And how my government makes me complicit with the political aid that they send. So I packed up my bags and I headed to Rafa to work with the ISM. And I'd rather be dancing, dancing and falling in love. Oh, but I could just watch from a distance and what am I made of? Mama, these people are so good to me. They treat me like I'm one of their own. They feed me and see to my needs and let me sleep in their homes. And Papa, their lives are so hard. The gunshots every night, the strip searches, the humiliations. Papa, it just isn't right. Well, I can feel my white skin privilege is there in my American face. I could wave my passport around like a flag and I would be safe in this place. For these child soldiers of Israel, they look like the boys back home. And if it wasn't for American money, they'd have to leave these people alone. And I'd rather be dancing, dancing to Pat Benatar. Oh, but somebody has to do something about it, and here we are. Tractors are coming today. They're like tanks with bulldozer blades. The name on the side says Caterpillar, and that means they're American made. Well, I am American too, and I'll be where everybody can see. So if they want to run over those houses today, they're gonna have to run over me. Well, it's dangerous taking a stand, but it's dangerous running away. And sometimes you have to face up to the danger. There is just no other way. For there are such beautiful dreams I have seen in the eyes of a child. And if I can just make one little difference, then I think my life is worthwhile. And I'd rather be dancing, but instead I'm saying goodbye. We'll meet again when it's over, don't cry. And I'd rather be dancing, and surely we'd all rather be. And someday we'll dance in a world that's peaceful and free.
Good evening. I am Congressman Darrell Issa, chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. I'm going to get to the bottom of the attack on the consulate in Libya. We're going to find out who did what when. Now, for this hearing, we're going to welcome out here White House Press Secretary Jay Carney. Here's a question for Jay Carney. As the spokesman, tell us, please, though the facts are still be sorting, lots of folks are now reporting that Benghazi you're distorting. It had nothing to do with an anti-Islam video. It's clear Obama knew. Now the truth is out. What are you gonna do? Lie, lie, lie. Lie, 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 lie. Hillary Clinton, what are you doing here?
Well, boys, I was just trying to see how everything's going out here. Here's a question, Mr. Issa. Raise your hand and tell us, please. You are calling us all liars, but my polls keep going higher. To the White House I aspire.
But this has nothing to do with the next White House election.
Audience, do you think that's true? You sing lie, lie, lie if it's me he's trying to screw.
The truth is on my side. What a lie, lie, lie.
And now, messages from Access Sacramento.